Hello, Len Fisher here. Today, I'm wondering whether scientists should get back into the closet. I want to propose a revolutionary idea. It is that scientists should stop trying to communicate with most of the public about science. We should concentrate on what we're good at, talking to each other. Having spent decades trying to get out of the closet, we should get right back in and shut the door. I hear cheers. I also hear howls. My idea doesn't apply to you. If you're listening to The Science Show, it's because you care about science. You like to know what's going on, how science works, and what it means for the world. You are a most precious resource. But you're a small minority. I have reason to suspect that most people are scared of science. These people are only interested if they are promised personal benefits, like health, wealth, or power. But most science doesn't work that way. The big discoveries, and many of the tangible outcomes, usually arise from questions that had little or nothing to do with those outcomes. I'm not just claiming this. It is also the conclusion of a recent scientific study. Surprise, surprise. The English mathematician G.H. Hardy once proudly claimed that his work in number theory had no practical application. His work now forms one basis for computer encryption. Let me offer another example with more personal relevance. In 1965, two American scientists were studying how bacterial cells divide. For no reason at all, they decided to test the effect of an electric field. They were amazed to find that the cells stopped dividing. They worked out that this was because their platinum electrodes were reacting with some of the compounds in the solution that the bacteria were suspended in to produce a material called cisplatin. Cancers happen when some cells in our bodies start dividing indiscriminately. They tested the effect of cisplatin on cancer cells and found that they too stopped dividing. They hadn't set out to study cancer or platinum compounds, but their discovery is now the basis of a series of anti-cancer drugs. One of these drugs helped to extend my mother's life for several years. If I'm at a party and fellow guests find that I'm a scientist, they usually turn to my wife and ask her what I do. Are they afraid to ask me, in case they may not understand the answer? But sometimes it gets worse. Some start arguing with me, based on something they may have seen on YouTube, or something a political or religious leader or news commentator has said. I usually say that the only way to refute science is through better science, but they seldom listen. The worst of all is the outright denial of science. It's happening the world over, especially among politicians and people with vested interests. Evidence seems to count for nothing if it goes against a strongly held opinion. The philosopher Bertrand Russell once said, tongue-in-cheek, that it was wildly paradoxical and subversive to suggest that it is undesirable to believe a proposition when there is no ground whatever for supposing it true. If Russell were alive today in this era of anti-science and fake science, I suspect he might propose a fresh doctrine, that it is undesirable to reject a proposition when there is every reason for supposing it to be true. But many important propositions are being rejected by decision makers despite the scientific evidence. Climate change and the effectiveness of vaccination are just two examples. There are a host of others. So what can scientists do about it? Education hasn't worked. Neither has publicity or appeals to reason, or the presentation of evidence. So what's left? The most important of all is you, the people who are genuinely interested in science and what it has to offer. Unlike scientists, you're not seen as a special interest group. So when you go out and tell others what you have heard on The Science Show, people listen. They don't think you have an axe to grind or a hobby horse to ride. What about the rest? The ones who don't care and won't be convinced? My wildly paradoxical and subversive answer is that scientists should give up trying to communicate with these people and concentrate on communicating with each other. Having come out of the closet, we should get back in and close the door. You, of course, would still have a key through programs such as The Science Show. The others would be locked out. It sounds mad, but it could work. I believe that many of these people are secretly intrigued by science, but they are fearful of being confronted by it, especially when it doesn't fit with their worldview. If scientists stop pushing their worldview, rejection may be overcome by curiosity, and people, even politicians, could want to know what science has to offer. It's an idea that goes back at least to the formation of London's Royal Society in 1660. Its goal was improving natural knowledge. Its patron was King Charles II, although he was one of those who was publicly dismissive of science. But in private, he frequently sought their advice. Charles laughed at the early members of the society for only weighing air. But this was how we found out that air is made up of different gases. These include oxygen and carbon dioxide, whose importance scientists now realise only too well. It's a pity that some politicians don't follow the advice of Greta Thunberg and listen to scientific evidence instead of dismissing it. Scientists are frequently seen as a private society with their own language, passwords, and keys to secret knowledge. Our efforts to break this image have been largely unsuccessful, so I suggest that we use it instead. We should tantalise people into asking for the keys, as did the seers of ancient times. The difference is that our keys offer a real vision of the future.
A bit of CPE Bach to help you over the shock. Len Fisher, ex-CSIRO, now doing physics in Bristol, in the UK.